Good evening, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Magicast. It's your returning host, Scott Munro. Thank you to both Joey and Imran for filling in for me in the last two episodes after talking about Udinese and then talking about the game last Thursday against AC Milan, a game which I was at in the rain. My back recovered. Nice 45-minute walk to the hotel after the game. But we are talking about yesterday's performance, which was a 3-1 defeat to Bologna. I was also at this game. I was in the Curva Nord. I was right in line with a certain Belgian's goal with Alexis Salamaker's lob in. Milos Filia with a wonderful Caio, with Rick Karsdorp being horrifically out of position. But hey ho, Bologna are a very good side. With me this evening, because we are recording on a Tuesday evening, is Imran. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Football wise, could have been better.
Yeah, but it's not the end of the world. Potentially, still could get fifth. But it's only De Rossi's second defeat in Serie A in 4 months, which isn't too bad, is it, Imran? No. It could have been worse. Could have still Jose Mourinho still in charge.
Oh, yeah. That would have been definitely worse, yeah.
No. Do you know what, Imran? I've seemed to attract Lazio fans recently. There was one in my hotel, member of staff. We had a nice chat. He doesn't like Igor Tudor or Ciro Immobile, which we discussed on WhatsApp. The guy who served me my breakfast this morning in the Kimbo shop in Fiumicino Airport. If anyone knows Fiumicino Airport, has been into that Kimbo shop. I think it's in the E-gate aisle in Fiumicino. As I left, I had my new Roma jacket on, which I put on social media, and he just went, "Forza Lazio." And I was like, "Ah, fair enough." we had a laugh. He spoke good English, so we had a nice laugh. And I had a couple next to me on the flight home. They were off to London on holiday. The gentleman looked at me weirdly at first, but then we had a nice conversation, me and his wife. She speaks perfect English. She's been coming to London for quite a lot. They're both Lazio fans also. So I've seemed to attract some Lazio fans recently, but we had a nice chat. I've just attracted the wrong sort of supporters in the last couple of days.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because in the hospital where I work, there are two nurses. One is a Lazio fan who I discuss football a lot with, very nice guy. And the other one is a Roma fan. So I have lots of fun at work. Depends on who's working, of course, but yeah.
And if either side has won or if either side has lost, there'd be some good thinking of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we talk about yesterday's game? As I was sat in the curve.
I think I know we're going to speak about yesterday's game, but I really want you to share your experiences from Thursday because that was something else. Oh. We spoke about it, but I mean, you were there. You saw the 2-1 win live at the Olympico. Just for the listeners, how you experienced it must have been nerve-wracking, great start, but I would really love to,
do you know what?
to hear that.
The first 25-30 minutes were pure heaven. It was amazing. The rain started to pour after the first goal. The heavens opened. I got to the ground early. I made myself leave the hotel. I was staying at two hotels. So the first hotel was just a little bit further from the first the second hotel I was staying at, and it was only about a 20-minute walk, so it's not too bad. And I got to the stadium about 10 to 7. I went through all the security point checks, which you have to do. I think it's about 4 or 5. There was a Dutch steward, and he looked at my passport and went, "All right, mate." He did it in a very broad Cockney accent, which I thought was quite funny. And the game, it was just wonderful to see. It was, for me, it was an emotional evening because it was the day after my birthday. And it's hard to describe it, Imran. It was hard because it happened so a few days ago. It was just emotional to be there. When Dybala scored, everyone around me went absolutely mental. And then Celik got sent off, and then it got a bit nervy. The second half was very, very nervy. I messaged you after the game because they brought on Chukwueze, and Pioli lost the game in the first half with some weird, weird tactics. I don't know if you and Joey talked about this, but he started Yunus Musa at right back and then played Davide Calabria at centre midfield. That just totally didn't work. And then Roma stuck with a 4-4-2. And yeah, it's just the goal and the Gianluca Mancini goal, and then the Dybala goal just a minute later, Lukaku sending Mattia Gabbia back to Milan, and then sending Theo Hernandez all the way back to Paris with that little drag back. But then it didn't need to get nervous when Zeki Celik got sent off, because I don't think that was a red card. I thought that was a bit harsh. He could have went to the VAR. The same sort of thing happened in stoppage time, when Theo Hernandez got sent off. But Roma had it under control. Milan were not really threatening. And then Gabbia scored right at the end. But apart from that, it was just amazing. And then you sent me a WhatsApp message at like 10 past 11 going, "Stay in the stadium, stay in the stadium," which was... And I was like, fair enough. Yeah. I stayed till about just 10 past, quarter past. And I walked back to my hotel. And I didn't get back to my hotel till 5 to 12. I had to check out the next morning. So I checked out like 11, had breakfast and stuff like that. And then I went to my other hotel in the afternoon. But I think the emotion, it was tiring, because when we were playing with 10 men for 60 minutes and they played brilliantly, and it was just like really dug in, and they've got Bayer Leverkusen in the next round, and I'm really, really looking forward to that tie in 2 weeks, a week and a half,
next week.
It's all rolling into one.
9 days.
It's crazy, isn't it, Imran? But
it is indeed.
I think it may have been like yesterday. I don't know if you would agree with this. I think yesterday was probably a game too far with all the stuff going on in recent weeks. But we will talk about it in a second. Like, I got to my seat yesterday about an hour and 20 minutes before kickoff. Went through all the security point checks and all that. Got to the Curvenord after the massive rain cloud. And the stadium started filling up. But yeah, we were right near the Bologna fans. What were you thinking going into this game?
I was actually quite confident, I must say. I was looking forward to it. I was curious. I thought that coming from the games that we had played recently, I fancied our chances. And those were the feelings I had going into the game. I was looking forward to it. I wasn't particularly nervous or anything. I thought that they had it in them to play a good game. So these were my feelings.
I was also feeling the same. Bologna's form in recent weeks has been a bit sketchy. They've dropped points where they should have really won against teams they should have won. I think they dropped points against Frosinone, and they didn't play, I think, in it, was it about 8 days? I think they played the last Sunday. So Roma played 2 games since then, where Udine, which got suspended and is being played in 2 days' time, the remaining 20 minutes. Rather not talk about
well,
that.
Well, actually, they had 9 days.
Nine days. Oh, yes, because they played Monza.
Last Saturday.
Yeah, Monza.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's Monza, yeah, the 1-0 game. The 1-1 game, sorry. And then Roma played Udinese, the emotional game on Thursday, which, honestly, after yesterday, did take it out of them. I think yesterday was a game too far. But that's understandable because Roma have gone deep again in Europe. They've reached another semi-final. They're doing pretty well in good circumstances in Serie A, but the teams behind them are catching up with Atalanta and Fiorentina. Atalanta won at Monza on Sunday evening, and then Fiorentina won away at Salernitana. Lazio, with their 30 fans in the away end, won away at Genoa. So there is just... I've seen a video which an English Lazio fan has taken it. I was out, so I missed... Because I was doing the stadium tour, so I missed most of the game. But in Italy, there's only 3 games on Sky Calcio, and the rest are on DAZN. But in my hotel, I had Sky Sports Bar, which is like another station, which shows all the Serie A games. So they were showing all of it. And I only realised that Saturday when Napoli lost away at Empoli. And I was like, oh, I could have watched most of that. But I watched a bit of Cagliari Juventus. And, oh, Cagliari, throwing away a 2-0 lead against Juventus. Oh, but no. On Monday, I was confident, but after watching the first half hour, 40 minutes, I was thinking, this is going to be tough, because from the whistle, Bologna controlled it and they were outstanding. I think that's probably the most clinical I've seen a football team play against Roma. When in my attendance of games, I've seen Real Madrid play Roma, and I've seen Napoli against Roma, and Napoli won 1-0 thanks to a mistake from De Rossi in 2017. Ronaldo scored a goal, and I think it was Lucas Vasquez scored in against Roma for Real Madrid. But I don't know if you would agree with me, Imran, but Bologna just put on a clinic. They just totally controlled the game. Roma struggled to get the ball off them. And then we had Fabio Maresca, who decided to push Bologna players, push Roma players, give away cheap cards. And the whole stadium, barring the Bologna fans, including me, was singing Maresca, prezzo di merda, Maresca, prezzo di merda, Maresca, prezzo di merda for a good 20 seconds on about 4 occasions. It felt like it was playing against 12 men at times, but I thought Roma struggled at times. Bologna kept the ball well. There was a glimmer of hope when Sadar Azmoun scored. He came on for Tammy Abraham, and let's just say Abraham did not do well. He played well on Thursday. He did the donkey work and run the defensive line really well for Roma, like defending from attack, but yesterday he struggled against a team that defended high up and squeezed and put the pressure on Roma, and Roma just couldn't capitalize and they just struggled. The downside, Imran, was if Stefan Alciarari or Leandro Paredes scored from those gilt-edged missed chances. Alciarari from about 8 yards out blazed over, and Paredes winning the ball off, was it Lukumi or Calafiori who dillied and dallied on the ball?
Lukumi.
And if he just won the, if he just took an extra touch and just coolly slotted it past Skorupski. And I was just like, it could have been a different story then. And just at the other end, they score a goal from the overhead kick, which nearly took Pellegrini's head off, but Pellegrini was a little bit further away. There was no problems with that. But then Zirkzee scored straight on half time, near enough, and that just deflated the atmosphere. Asman scored, and then for about 10, 15 minutes, Roman looked threatening. Rick Carstorp came on and just left this massive gap for Salamakers just to glide through and just did the spoon, the cucayo over Sviglia and then celebrate right in front of the Bologna fans, and then it was just game over. It was just done. The atmosphere just went dead. It was like a lead balloon. It just popped. They did have a goal disallowed, but yeah, it just went completely to pieces. What I felt was disappointing was a lot of the Roma fans left with about 10, 15 minutes to go, which I don't condone. I've done it myself while watching Swindon this season because it's been that bad. It was a bit disappointing because there was 63,800 and I think it was 71. There was 66,000 on Thursday. So that's what, 129,000 in two games, which is pretty good with a lot of away fans. And it's just disappointing to see an almost empty stadium near the end. I stayed into the end to, I would say, clap them off, but just politely applaud the Bologna team who went straight to the fans and in that corner at the end of the game and just put on a clinic. I don't know if you would agree with me, but what were your thoughts on yesterday's performance?
I think it was obvious, first of all, that the game against Milan on Thursday, playing with 10 players for such a long time, it took its toll. I think that was pretty obvious. The players, they looked, although they had chances, like you mentioned, to begin with El Shaarawy. Had he buried that one, we would have a completely different game. I think De Rossi even mentioned that in his post-match interview. But football is not always like that. You can find yourself in situations, you can end up in situations where you find yourself chasing a goal, and that was what happened through, like you said, a beautiful goal. If Pellegrini had been a bit more tactically clever, he would have gone all in for this challenge and probably got a free kick there. But he was a bit passive, which led to the goal. After that, we were a bit just running between the Bologna players. They were very comfortable with possession. They passed the ball around in a very impressive way. I thought that they looked very mature, and you could see that they were up for it. So I was very impressed by the way Bologna played. But you mentioned the referee. He's not the reason why we lost, but he didn't have the best of performances. He was a bit premature when it came to handing out yellow cards to Roma players compared to Bologna and giving Paredes a yellow card early in the match. Of course, it didn't help. The situation didn't go a goal behind. And when you have to chase the ball, you know, when you have to chase the possession like that, it becomes a bit frustrating for the players. They become a bit nervous because they looked so off, which was obviously they were very fatigued. And then you get to 2-0 right before halftime, which, like you said, deflated the whole atmosphere. And I would say also the confidence from the team. They did bounce back with a lot of changes in the second half through the goal. But then again, there was a spell there after Asmund's goal where they were again very impressive in complete control. And then we conceded that goal. Tactically and defensively, we looked very out of position. We looked out of touch. We looked very... I was very surprised to see us so tactically vulnerable in defense. When we lost possession, okay, I can understand that Karstov wants to attack, but the way the defensive line was placed, and how quickly Bologna could counterattack and come one versus one after winning back possession. That was a bit impressive, but also I would say disappointing from our side. I think we have to, De Rossi and his team has to analyze this performance and see how they could have been so vulnerable in defense. That's something they have to work on because, of course, there are many factors that play a role there. I mentioned fatigue, I mentioned the frustration, the nerves, having to chase the ball, finding yourself in a position 2-0 down in a very important game. Certainly didn't expect that. I don't think the players expected that. So it just became a mountain too big to climb in the end. And then when they got the 3-1, it was virtually game over. A very disappointing performance, and to an extent, I would say embarrassing, with the way we couldn't keep our, discipline with the bookings. Yeah, that was a bit disappointing. But now we find ourselves in an even more difficult position, having to protect the fifth position now.
Yeah, especially with, like I said earlier, Atalanta winning away at Monza and then Fiorentina. I know Lazio are a little bit behind. And then you've got Napoli, the current Serie A champions, trailing in the wind after their defeat away at Empoli. On Maresca, I think two of those yellows were pretty harsh. The one on Paredes and the one on Diego Llorente. I can see the one on Pellegrini and El Shaarawy because they were wild challenges. But the first two on Paredes and Llorente were harsh, and there were some challenges.
Yeah, they were cheap.
Yeah, they were cheap yellow cards. And guess what, Imran? They're both going to miss Napoli, which is a big game on Sunday.
It is a big game, you're right, but it could be a blessing in disguise. I
True.
mean, if you look at the rest they will get again ahead of the Leverkusen game, it could be forced rotation. But I don't know. I see it more as a missed opportunity because I would have. I don't think Llorente would have started against Napoli. So I think the Napoli, no, against Leverkusen. I think the Napoli game would have been perfect for him. But now he's unfortunately suspended. I would have liked to see a fresh Chris Smalling against Leverkusen.
I can see why he didn't play yesterday, because he played a pivotal part in a solid defensive lineup on Thursday, and he is just coming back from injury. At half time, in my head, I was thinking, could he switch to a back three? Could he take off maybe El Shaarawy, who struggled at times against Stefan Posch, and the other centre half who played in Germany last year, the right sided, is it Bakuma? He struggled against
Yeah.
he struggled against them too. I was just thinking, could you bring on Smalling just to protect and go through at the back and push the wing backs high up? But I thought both fullbacks struggled yesterday, especially Angelino against the right hand side of the attack of Bologna, because I think they sort of target him a little bit. When Spinazzola came on, he did okay. Celik wasn't as too bad, but I just think he may have struggled with confidence after the red card from Thursday.
Yeah, he never got going.
No, he sort of just was like in the motions and struggled. I thought the midfield really struggled, bar Paredes.
It is.
Yeah.
There was too big gap between them. I mean, even in both in central midfield, but also, I mean, both vertically but also horizontally. I think there was too big difference, too big gap between them. They were not able to close down. If you see that they're comfortable with possession, I think that you should fall much deeper and stop chasing or trying to win back possession high up in the field, especially when they are so many more players than you there. So I think it's better to just fall deep and then try to win back possession from there.
Yeah, instead of just leaving gaping holes, which they did, and just Bologna just capitalized and just like every time Rome, they won the ball high up, not high up, but they won the ball in when Roma were attacking, like in their own half. They just counterattacked at will, and you could see it for the third goal. The space, it'll give me nightmares for years to come, just for that. Just because Karsdorp was just all on his own up on the pitch, and the right side of like Roma's defence were just, it was just this massive gap, and Salamak has just capitalised and just with a wonderful goal and finish. There was the offside goal at the end, if I'm not mistaken. It could have been Dan Ndoye, but I don't know if he was off by then. But yeah, just Roma went through the motions right near the end. They had a couple of chances. I think Pellegrini fired over. I think that's about it. And there was just this deflation and frustration coming out of the ground yesterday. And there was just this feeling of this was, as you said, was a lost opportunity. And just like, what could have been if Roma didn't give away stupid goals and didn't go a bit gung-ho? But I have to give praise for Thiago Motta's Bologna team. They were outstanding, as I said earlier. I posted the video of them on social media, of the players going to the fans at the end of the game. Just like, they were a credit. I think that's just, you have to applaud what's in front of you. They put on a clinic, and I think they're in the pole position for fourth place. It wouldn't surprise me if they go above Juventus, who have been struggling a lot this season. But the downfall is, Imran, that Bologna team at the end of the season or in the summer just could be absolutely ripped apart.
Yeah, they could. I have to echo what you said. Shout out to Thiago Motta for the team he has built in his second season. They are playing very good football. He has made the team play very, you know, beautiful football, comfortable in possession. It was a joy to watch. I was very impressed. You know, I really get impressed by teams like Bologna. I mean, of that size, coming to Rome and playing football like that. So that was very impressive, very clinical. I think that I think it will be interesting to see what happens in the summer. Thiago Motta will most likely leave, because I think this is the best he can do with the squad. He has the potential to go to a bigger club, as rumored until now, most likely Juventus. Mm-hmm. What will happen to this Bologna team? I think it will be difficult for them to repeat what they have been doing. Of course, they would like to build something like what Atalanta have built. But Atalanta, we have to remember, have had the same coach and consistency as a result of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you change the coach, they have very good scouting, but you also need you need the combination of both scouting and a good coach. And it's not always easy to find a very good coach, because Thiago Motta is an up-and-coming coach. And I think the club that gets him will be very lucky, because he has a very interesting future.
I think those rumours may be coming true of a team up in the north wearing black and white, playing at the J Stadium. If the rumours are to be true that he's going to be the next Juve manager, and they want Cirksey and Calafiori to go with him. I think, as I said, I think Calafiori will be in the Italy Euro squad, and I think he may be starting. Him or Buongiorno may be starting.
And it went, but what a performance by Calafiori yesterday. He was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so comfortable with possession. He was just floating around. I mean, he was the calmest person at Olympico. And I would have never imagined 2 years ago, 3 years ago, him, the nerve wreck, him, the guy who always asked to be substituted out because, you know, he just couldn't handle playing. Mm. It got too much for him. And we spoke about that in the previous pod with some of the players. We get, you know, we refer to Calafiori as a person who benefited from, you know, getting out from his comfort zone, playing at the club with no pressure, and then building a mental strength which allowed him to return to Serie A. And now he has played under a coach with, you know, who has got the best out of his players. They all look very confident. So I think well done to Calafiori for, you know, the choices he took and the player he has become. He was a joy to watch. I'm very happy for him because, you know, he's a guy who struggled a lot with that, you know, career threatening injury, knee injury.
But despite that,
he came back and now doing that. So I'm very happy for him. If he goes to Juventus, you know, bummer, but for us, but he deserved the best in his career.
I had no idea what position he was playing yesterday. Was he playing left back? Was he playing left centre back? Because he was just popping up on pitch everywhere. I love what Motta's done for him, playing him as a ball playing centre half. He's just literally transformed his game into a joyful, easy on the eye, elegant ball playing centre back.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to compliment De Rossi for his post-match.
Yes, I saw
comment.
That.
I mean, you know, he gave credit where credit was due. He said that, you know, Bologna deserved to win. That's why they won the game. And I think that was the right thing to say. You have to compliment your opponents when they are better on the day, and he did that. Of course, he could have complained about the referee. Could have chosen that path like some others do, but he didn't. You know, he's always classy, and it's a type and style that I personally prefer, and I'm very happy with that.
He could have went down the Nottingham Forest route from the weekend, but he chose not to.
He could have. He could have.
That's a topic for a different day. I saw that on social media on Sunday. Like Nottingham Forest and the previous manager, that could have been the same sort of thing we could have seen from a Roma coach of previous eras, previous reigns. I'm not going to throw him under the bus because I don't want the abuse on social media. They came out of the woodwork yesterday.
Oh, they did. They've been deep inside the cave for a long time, and you know, they saw the light and energy yesterday. They came out, they enjoyed the loss, yesterday, and they were very active on social media. You know, I just find them a fine group, very pathetic. I think it's childish. You should move on, do something better with your life. Your guy is unemployed, focus on him, but you know, to support him in the club because he was a coach, and now to be against the club because he was sacked. I think I've never come across people like this, fan group like that. It's very new to me, but yeah, I was very surprised.
A faceless group, that's all I'm gonna say. Before we get into listeners' question, I don't know if you and Joey mentioned this. I did not get to listen to the pods because I was enjoying myself in Italy, as we all do,
for obvious reasons.
Federico Chiesa, there is very strong rumours going around. It looks like Max Allegri has massacred him into dust and has totally ruined him with the style of football that he plays, 3-5-2. There's pretty much not a position for Chiesa in that unless he's playing as one of the front two off the main striker. If it's Milik, if it's Dusan Vlahovic, if it's Moise Keane. But what's your thoughts on Chiesa and the Roma links? Do you think it could work?
I think it's a bit early. I don't think... If there's any substance to it, I think it's too early to say. Chiesa is a very good player. We have to remember that. And we also have to remember that Juventus will change, most likely, the coach this summer. And if they do, when they do, I can't understand how people can link him to Roma. If Thiago Motta goes there, I don't understand why he would want him to be an integral part of his team. So I think it's too early to speak about that. I think right now the rumors are too good to be true. Chiesa belongs... if you look... We need to at least get the Champions League if you want to be realistic about that. But the benefit where we have the advantage is because De Rossi has worked closely with him for the national team. I think that is a factor that could help us. But overall, I would be very happy because he's the type of player that De Rossi specifically mentioned in terms of characteristics, that he wants explosive wingers because he would like Dybala to play as a false nine, and then he needs explosive wingers. That's actually that reminded me of the back in the days when Spalletti, he used to play the 4-2-3-1 with the wingers weren't necessarily as explosive, but they were very technical and they were very good one-on-ones, which allowed Totti to play as a false nine. So that comment about explosive wingers, I think he was referring to not so specifically Chiesa, but a player of his caliber and style.
You're bringing up,
but I think it's unrealistic, to be honest. I think he's out of our reach. I think he's a bit too expensive, and I think we have to wait to see who Juventus appoint before we can be realistic about our, you know, chances of going for a player of his caliber.
No, that's fair enough. As I was about to say, you're bringing back memories then. Spalletti, Totti as a false nine, Vucinic, Mancini, Tadai on the wings. Brings back a bit of a nostalgia, but no.
It does indeed.
Yeah. You could see Dybala as a false nine. You really could in this setup because he does drop deep and create space for the wingers. If Roma want to continue playing with wingers and go with the 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, that could happen. Like you said, I don't know if it's pie in the sky, maybe a bit of fantasy, maybe a bit of FIFA or Football Manager talking, but I don't know. It's not realistic, but as he's worked with him at the Euros, and that Euro 2020/21, that was the best of Chiesa in like the last few years because he's been down in the doldrums. He had that horrific knee injury, didn't he, when he played against Roma and missed a lot of football. That was, what, January 22, I think it was? In that crazy 4-3 game, he got tackled by Smalling. It was just...
I think it was last year,
23. It was just a freak injury and he missed a lot of football. Yeah. And he just hasn't come back to his best. Allegri in his style of football just killed him. I said he's massacred him. I see all the
But a fantastic player. Yeah. No doubt about that.
On his day, he's just outstanding, explosive, quick, just direct. Play him in his right position. Either it's off the left...
Yeah, but we still don't know which approach Roma will take this summer. I mean, we remember a few months back there were talks about Roma changing the strategy in summer, going for more younger player with a bright future, relying more on the scouting network of the club to sign players and not going for the established, expensive players like we have seen them do in the previous summer transfer windows. So I think we need to also first get to know what Roma want to do this summer. I don't think we know that because we know that there have been rumors or there have been talks about the owners wanting to shrink the wage budget, and for that to happen, they have to get rid of and they have to avoid making some of the transfer they've done in the previous transfer windows.
Yeah, completely agree. I was just thinking about it because I've seen it splashed on social media, Roma social media, in the last couple of days when I was away, and I was just thinking, what was the everyone's opinion on it? It's just Roma have to see where they are. If they're in the Champions League, they're in the semi-final Europa League. They're in that fifth spot, which is now Italy's after Thursday.
Yeah,
thank you.
And we still don't have a sporting director. No, so
that's true.
A lot has to be. I'm sure there must be a sporting director that they potentially want to sign, and I think that if they have someone, they should have someone. He's already working on next summer, because it would be unrealistic to expect a sporting director to be appointed in June and expect him to start to work there. So these sporting directors, they're already very up to date, and they work even before officially signing for, pretty much like Sabatini was doing back in 2011, because there was already an official contact with Roma, and they have their network and contacts, so they must have analyzed and drawn lists of players that they want Roma to sign in different situations, whether they qualify for Champions League, Europa League, etc. Yeah.
Could it be an ex-Roma player that is about to leave Fiorentina?
Could be. It would make sense, because I think De Rossi would want him to work with him at Roma. I think it would make sense, but he has more been like a type of director, but I think the sporting director has still been the previous Roma director, Daniele Prade, who has been conducting the business. But he has sort of been his right-hand man. He has been responsible for the South American market as a scout director role. But yeah, he's going to leave, and it could very well be that De Rossi would want him to be appointed, but we'll have to see.
That is Nicolas Berdiso we are talking about. That has come out in the last...
Yeah, for those of us who didn't know.
That he's come out in the last day or so. I think it was yesterday, or may have been today, that he will be leaving Fiorentina. And there could be that reunited with Roma and Daniele De Rossi, because Berdiso played for Roma, was it for 2-3 years? In the 2009 era of Roma?
Yeah, he came in 2009 in the summer on loan from Inter without an option. So we signed him after the season where we almost won the Scudetto. We signed him for, I think, 8 million euros, which was considered quite expensive back then because he was a backup for Inter. And then he stayed until, I think, 2014.
14 years ago, yeah.
In January, I think Rudy he went Gaster, to Genoa. Yeah.
His...
You know, he was a very good player to have in the dressing room, very serious, and a very good player to have in the dressing room. I assume he would be similar as a sporting director. You know, he demands a lot from his players. He's very serious, professional. I'm just not so sure how good he is as a sporting director. I mean, the players he signs. And yeah, his transfer business. I've seen some of the business that Fiorentina have done, and I've not been too surprised. I mean, I've not been too impressed by the players that they've signed for the transfer fees and from the leagues, and how they have, you know, ultimately turned out to be. So I can't say I'm too excited. I'm curious, yes, but I'm not too sure how ready he will be for that role.
Watch this space. Didn't Roma sign his brother as well, Guillermo?
They did. He came on alone, didn't play too much, I think only 2 games, and then he went to Boca Juniors and Galatasaray, etc.
Yeah, the Berdiso brother. I think it was from Rosario Central, if I'm not mistaken. I might have to look that up in a minute, but we do have listeners' questions. I think it was yourself, may have put the tweet out earlier asking for listeners' questions. We got two, Imran. One is from Rosa. Is it realistic for us to finish fifth, considering the calendar of games we have left and the arguable lack of depth in the squad?
It's a very good question. It's a question I've been thinking about yesterday. Yesterday after the game, the way we played, and looking at Atalanta's remaining games, I was very skeptical. I was just thinking, how will we get through this run of games with those opponents and with the fifth place, you know, still within reach. I found that very unrealistic yesterday. But now I think we have to take one game at a time. Yeah. I think Thursday's game, we have to go all in for it. The remaining 20 minutes, we just have to go there and try to get the win. I think that could be very, very important if you look at the remaining game. We have Napoli away, very difficult game. Juventus at home and then Atalanta away. And there will be games every 3 days. From Thursday, every 3-4 days. It will be a very congested fixture. We need to be aware, we need to be mentally prepared, and we need to be physically prepared as well. It's very important that all the players are up for this and are ready to give 100% in every game, because we have to remember Juventus, they don't have, okay, they're going to play midweek, they're playing midweek now, but they will not have, they don't have any European obligations, so they will have a lot of time, and they have a lot to prove as well. And playing a big game against Roma, of course they would have a lot to play for.
Yeah, and our final question is, I was thinking, this question is good as well, because I was thinking while watching this yesterday. Martin asks, do you think Tammy will be the first choice striker next season, assuming he stays healthy? How do you see him fitting into De Rossi's play style? He struggled a lot yesterday after a good 65, 70 minutes on Thursday. He struggled for 50 minutes against a very compact defensive unit in Bologna.
What do you think? Because I think yesterday's game was a bit too early for him to start. And he was obviously very fatigued after having played almost 60 minutes or whatever it was. How much he played a lot, and I think it was a bit too much. I think it was too much to expect for him, and you know, he fought like a warrior, and then starting, it was a bit too early for him. I don't know how he will fit into De Rossi's style of play. I think we have to see, because even De Rossi has been a bit careful. He says that he has some interesting characteristics, but I don't know him too much as a player. We have to wait and see. But it feels like we would have a play with Lukaku, who has had some characteristics are similar, but in terms of physicality has been different. I think we will definitely need another striker, and I think we would need a striker who should have been a bit more consistent compared to Abraham the past season, because coming up from an ACL injury, playing on and off, and then have a full preseason, expect to go straight into the next season as a starter with expectations, I think it would be a bit too risky, to be honest.
Would that mean for you, do you think Sardar Azmoun, as a caveat, sorry, to Martin's question, do you think Sardar Azmoun will be starting in the next couple of weeks more often?
Yes. I think, or there should be rotation, because Azmoun was very lively and fresh yesterday. I think he deserves to start. There's no doubt about that. Whether Azmoun and Abraham will be enough going into the next season, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that will be enough. You would need a replacement for Lukaku if Lukaku is not going to stay, which I think will be difficult considering the transfer fee that Chelsea want for him. 40 million, 45, I think it's
plus
too
his
much.
Wages.
He's turning 31. His wages, he's turning 31. I don't think that would be worth it. I would look for a younger option, someone like Marcos Leonardo, who went to Benfica in the end.
Did well.
But, you know, it's some player who can play. I mean, okay, it might sound like now that Marcos, you know, Leonardo would be a bit risk considering he has no proven track history in Europe, and then you would play. I would understand that argument, but my point is that if you're gonna go for an expensive player, expensive striker, I wonder who that will be. I wonder which profile we're speaking about, because I don't see it realistically signing anyone from Serie A to go straight into the position.
No, there is always these links with Joey's favorite Genoa player, Albert Gudmundsson. That could be another option for that forward line.
Yeah, but
not the centre forward line.
Is he the answer? Yeah, I mean, is he the answer to is he going to be that goal machine? I mean, I would personally think that's a downgrade on Lukaku.
Yeah, I would, not to be to play in the centre forward role, maybe as one of the wingers. Would you see that?
Yeah, that would be different. But I'm talking about, if we're speaking about a replacement for Lukaku, I think you would have to. You would at least want the quality to be maintained, so to speak. You don't want to compromise too much on quality when you replace him. Of course, also keeping in mind the budget and finances, mm-hmm. it's difficult to expect too much, but ideally and preferably you would want to not compromise on quality. Whether it will be realistic, we have to wait and see. But you know, if you wait until mid-August or end of August, the market can present you with a lot of opportunities, mm-hmm. Because players have to start accepting destinations that they weren't thinking about at the beginning of the market due to the developments. And you know, the mercato can be very unpredictable, and you can end up with players who you thought weren't realistic. So, but I would hope that we don't compromise on quality, because I think it would be important to have a good striker.
Also, Imran, it's tournament year. It's the Euros.
It is. You never know which player may...
Never know. You never know. And as it's the Euros, and as Roma play Bologna, and as a Scotsman, I was gutted to hear the news about Lewis Ferguson. I was hoping to see him play yesterday, but that's a big loss. And to be honest, Imran, they did not miss him yesterday. They did not miss him. They didn't miss him at all. I always say this, in a tournament year, the summer transfer window in like all the countries has been a Roma fan and following the Premier League, it throws up some jeopardy. If you have a really good tournament in the Euros or in a World Cup year, you will get bids left, right and centre. And if you star for your country in a tournament and go deep and go far or even win it, your club will receive a lot of offers for you. And it'd be interesting to see, because if the tournament year, it just throws up a lot of chaos. My favourite word in football. And as you said, there'll be targets that you didn't think would be realistic, which could turn realistic in the space of a couple of weeks in the summer, from June to the beginning of July. And it throws up some interesting topics, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It does indeed.
Thank you guys for the questions. Imran, I think that pretty much wraps up. We've gone almost 55 minutes talking about a Roma defeat and some transfer talk, and realistically, what could Roma do in the next few weeks and maybe in the summer with a sporting director? The future, I think the future does look bright.
The future looks at least exciting. I'm curious to discover more of it. I'm curious to discover more about De Rossi, whether it works out or not. That's different. But I think he deserves a chance, and I'm happy to see that he will get the chance.
Guys, you can follow us at themagicast.com, and you can find all of our previous episodes on the website, and you can find us on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, etc., etc. Once again, I will say to both yourself, Imran, and to Joey, thank you for filling in my shoes, and to Joey, as I jokingly said to him on WhatsApp, thank you for keeping my seat warm.
No, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
No, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for, I do jokingly say to him, thank you for keeping my seat warm while I've been away. He didn't take it personally, thank God. But no, thank you for joining me this evening, Imran. I think we might do like a mini pod on Thursday or Friday to talk about 20 minutes of football, or maybe 25 if there is a lot of time, due to the postponement of the game against Udinese, and then it's the big derby of the sun, derby of the south, derby della sol on Sunday evening against Napoli. And also, Imran, the kickoff times for the Juventus game has come out, and it's the Sunday evening game.
Yeah, that was a bit like expected after the Europa League.
I like how Serie A does it in batches, not like other leagues. It's literally like La Liga and Serie A. If you're planning to go on away on a trip to watch some La Liga or Serie A, you have to leave it till the very last minute, just because of the kickoff times. And it is, and as I said, it's chaotic, and it's just, you wouldn't have it any other way, would you?
No. This is Italy. This is why we follow this club and love that country.
And love Serie A, but just because of the chaos going behind the scenes. Imran, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday evening for both of us. We'll be back in a couple of days to talk about the Udinese rearrangement of 20 plus minutes and to talk about the game on Sunday against Napoli. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.